Welcome to the Corporate Venturing Insider Series, where I interview top practitioners in the CVC world and learn with you the best practices and golden nuggets that they have accumulated over their career. In this episode, we will be learning from Helene Lossin, Head of Corporate Venture Capital at GTT Strategic Ventures. Helene, could you take a few minutes to share your story and how you got to where you are today?
Merci, Nicolas. Actually, it was maybe a little bit of an unusual journey. I'm actually an engineer, and so I started with consulting, as many engineers do. I did that for about 3 years because I didn't really have a project, and then thought it would be a good idea to try and enter into a family business. That was in the chemical industry, it was in Belgium. It was an excellent experience. I learned a lot. And then after 3 years, it was a bit complicated to work with family, so I decided to do something else. Then I met GTT, the company I'm working with for about 11 years now, and that's a long time, and started in innovation there because I had a technical background and I'd studied business a little bit as well in an American university. And so we started thinking about diversification. And for us, diversification at that time meant trying to develop software and create more value for our clients by putting into a software some kind of expertise that we had. We're not a software company. We're an engineering company in the energy space. So we actually failed miserably at trying to develop software ourselves. But that's fine because we learned a lot. And we learned that we really wanted to do that. And so we decided to acquire a company that had the capabilities of developing software for the maritime industry. And I was there, and so I did GTT's first M&A, which is an incredible opportunity for someone who's never done them in their lives, who's about 30 years old, and who is working for a listed company. We acquired a company in Singapore called Ascense. And once we had done the first M&A, we just said, that's cool. We'll keep on using that corporate development tool. So I switched to M&A, did a few acquisitions, relatively small, but in very exciting spaces. So software for maritime, artificial intelligence before it was the big thing that it is today, hydrogen. So after 4 years of that, the company thought, well, now we can do M&A. We'll keep on doing that, but we need to explore and expand our horizons. We are in the field of energy. We are in maritime. Things are going to change a lot in those spaces. We need to understand what's happening in a very active way. And this is how the company decided to create the corporate venture fund that I'm developing. It's about 2 years building a deal flow that is, for us today, about 500 opportunities and startups that we have a look at per year, but we're a very small team. But it's becoming significant. And so that has started 2.5 years ago. And it was a fantastic opportunity of switching from innovation to M&A to corporate venturing. And I love it.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned small team. So how small is a small team?
I have to admit that I'm the only person that is dedicated 100% to the investment activity. You never do good things or great things alone. And so I am very lucky to be able to rely on my colleagues internally for different things, whether it is due diligence, identifying new companies, or even representing us in the board of our portfolio companies. And so I think that we're about 20 people that on a regular basis are involved into CVC within the group.
And you learned a lot. And this, just saying it already tells me a lot about the company and the way you're thinking, which is failure is an opportunity to learn and to build something stronger. Can you share a little bit about that learning from that failure that led to this first M&A group and activity and first M&A in reality?
Of course. So I need to be a bit specific about what the project was. So we are a company who designs LNG storage tanks. And so what is an LNG storage tank? It's a huge tank, 30 meters by 30 meters by 40 meters, in which you put something that is very cold, liquid methane. it's actually a very beautiful thing. And it's also something that lives a little bit. So it's a complex mechanical system and that you need to operate it in a certain way. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to model a bit specifically how some of that liquid, which is cold, evaporates within the time to optimize the handling of that pressure. Okay. And we have the knowledge to do that. We have the scientific knowledge to do that. We know the equations. It's a complicated problem, but we have the knowledge. We have the expertise. And we wanted to bring this into a voyage planning software that was usable by someone in the industry, not a scientific tool that you needed to a 20 pages manual to explain how to use it. And that takes a little bit of time to provide you with the results. And this is where I think we failed a little bit, is to internally even design the software. And so provide with the developers with what we wanted to do, because you can find developers, you can hire developers, but if you don't really know what you're trying to make, you can't really make it. And I think that's one of the key learnings, is that we didn't really know what we wanted to do. That's one thing. And after some time, you're developing something that's not really interesting for your client. He doesn't buy it. That was an important learning, that we also needed to talk a little bit more to our client before investing time and money into developing something. Now, about the M&A part, what we loved about the company that we acquired is that they already had clients in that space. So they provided them with something that people needed and that they were ready to use. It was good to have teams in Singapore. It was good to have developers that had made that type of systems, but they had clients who they were talking to who were buying their products.
And so if you think about how you build the M&A activity, what do you think was a key discipline that you brought from these learnings into that activity of M&A? And then, of course, I'm moving forward with the CVC afterwards. So I'm looking at what was the transitions from one to the other.
Absolutely. Again, it's about identifying companies that bring value to someone and understanding how they build that value. So that's the engineering part. And then convincing them and ourselves that we will be stronger together than separately. And I think it's one of the common things between M&A and corporate venturing, by the way, is that the type of M&A that we do is the strategic kind, where we are in a friendly way integrating a company within our group, because we believe it makes sense for the company and it makes sense for us. So we've always been careful when shaping that the acquisition to do that with the spirit of we are going to build things together and not coexist.
That's interesting, because you mentioned the collective spirit of corporate VCs working together. Can you explain how the start of the CVC started? Was it the CEO who said, we want to start a CVC? Was it you proposing? What was the trigger for moving from what you were doing to starting the CVC?
We had established that GTT had the capability of acquiring companies. And we have such a specific profile. So the business I described a few minutes ago, it's very specific. It's a very good business as well. And we have a strong position into it, but it's quite specific. So M&A, it's not an easy thing for us to do in the sense that it's not easy to find the right targets. I think it started by asking ourselves, how do we create larger M&A pipeline? That was one question. The second question was really about diversification. Again, that extremely specific business is also a bit niche, honestly. And we would like to grow outside of that and beyond that. And because of that specific profile, it's not a very easy thing to do, to identify from top down and strategic thinking the type of the areas in which we want to grow. We have that as well. We have a strategy team who's thinking very hard about those kind of things, but or and collectively at management level, at board level, there was an understanding that we needed also to explore, because the world of energy is changing and because the world of maritime is changing. And that there will be some opportunities to solve a certain number of big problems with the interesting technology. And this is exactly the spaces that we like, because we are a successful technology company in a certain way. And since those areas are not completely mature yet, who actually knows what's going to happen in the energy transition? No one. Who actually knows what's going to happen in mobility? I don't think anyone knows. So it was a bit difficult to do M&A there straight away. And that understanding helped the CVC project emerge. It's a natural tool for doing that. And strategic analysis is not going to help you completely there. Once you've understood from the strategic analysis point of view if an area is mature enough and good enough for you to invest and acquire companies, it's probably a bit too late.
It's interesting because you've mentioned two concepts. You've used the word explore, which is about exploration of things you're not doing today. But it's also very clear that you're looking at exploitation of the current business and how to make the current business stronger. So actually, you're talking about the CVC that looks at both the exploitation part of a business as well as the exploration of new business. That's quite a wide range of strategic objectives. If you were to think about where do you focus more on the current business, making it better versus new type of business, how do you make prioritization calls?
Frankly, I spend, I think, a vast majority of my time on exploration and looking at new opportunities. Why is that? Because that the current business is, again, so specific that we can help, we can nudge, we can create some outside of the box thinking opportunities for my colleagues, but it's probably 10% of the startups and the deal flow that we have a look at. But it's very, it's about different things, mostly software, by the way. It can be how can we imagine new materials to enter into our systems, or the type of software that I described a bit earlier, how do you operate ships better? But yes, I think, 10% is a fair assessment of at least the number of startups that we are looking at.
Okay, so 90% is exploration?
Yes.
And how do you pick the topics? Because you talked about mobility, energy transformation, and hydrogen. They are very different topics. I'm sure you can't think of them all at the same time. So how do you pick them, and how do you prioritize them over time?
That's a good and deep question, honestly. So we first started with, we need to be able to explore very broadly. Otherwise, we're going to miss the point of having a CVC. If we're staying too close to our own basis and our own activities, and we're not going to learn enough. And the second thing was, and then you need to manage different objectives, but it's an interesting thing to do. We're a strategic investor. So for every company that I introduce to my investment committee, we need to have a strategic angle. And strategic angles are, it's something that evolves over time. And there are natural things. For instance, any technology that is helping maritime decarbonization. And the strategic connection is because we believe this is going to be important in the future.
I think it gives you a very strategic view of what's to come and how the business could prepare for it. But 10 years is a long time. You're working with the entrepreneurs who are building solutions for that future.
So how are we working with entrepreneurs who are building solutions for the future? But one superpower that we have is our network in the maritime and the energy space. Yes, we are a relatively small company. Yes, we have what I call the niche business, but we also have a well-connected business development team with shipyards, with ship owners, with energy majors, all over the world. And that's quite powerful for a young company who is trying to reach out to those corporates. So making the right introductions, our second superpower, and quite attractive, is that we are running a licensing business. That's our core business. So we design technologies, we file for patents, and we license our portfolio patents to our clients. So we have a bit of experience in IP strategies and also how to handle a licensing business. It's very specific. And you need, it's a business where you need to bring value to your client beyond the license. Otherwise, that client is not going to be happy. And of course, adjust that to the business of the startup and the company. So how are we working with entrepreneurs who are building solutions for the future? First, we are making a connection between them and people in our organization who have some important skills and knowledge that can help them. Let's take an example. We have 7 portfolio companies. And in those portfolio companies, I participate in only 3 boards. So we have 4 people who are from the business, who are representing GTT as a shareholder. And we have identified them and they have volunteered also because they can bring something to those companies. And sometimes it's knowledge about the industry, how to interact with the shipyards, how to discuss with ship owners, how to build an engineering capability from 4 people today to tens of people in the next 2 to 3 years, or how to design first and then execute an ambitious R&D roadmap. And we need to have to ask them directly if it's useful, but they seem happy. They seem happy with the conversations that we have in the board that go beyond just approving accounts and deciding on the compensation package for the management. It's a bit early to tell because we've only started this investment activity 2 years ago and opening up to business board members about the same time. We're starting to see things at the level of those board members. They love what they do. What they say is that it opens up their minds on practical and different things, because when you're a manager of an engineering team or a big project, you have a certain mindset. When you need to switch and think about steering a company the right direction with important things at stake, the company needs to find money. We need to make sure that it's successful at some point. We don't want the employees to lose their jobs. So it creates a level of gravity. It's not heavy, but things are serious now. And it's completely different from being an employee of a big corporate. And so that percolates, it starts changing to change them a bit, and they love it. But the fact that they love it creates some enthusiasm, and which is a little bit part of the entrepreneurial spirit, so to speak. And maybe some of the people who are board members today or who are in working with those entrepreneurs and startups that we have invested in will maybe start building projects of their own. And I think we would be happy to do that and to help them in a certain way in our group. There actually is one example, but it's one. We had an innovation contest about 1 year ago, and the winner of the innovation contest, when the winning team, because it was a team, is now incubated and is developing their idea for 6 months. But I think we would like to do a bit more of that.
I think what comes across quite clearly from GTT is that it's an engineering company, but with no filters. We haven't tried software, let's try it. Doesn't work, let's try M&A. At CVC, let's try incubation. So I'm very impressed. Your company has no filters, at least it feels that way, in trying new things, see what works, and then you can structure it. That's quite impressive.
Thank you. I'm really glad that you said that. I just also want to point one thing is, actually we do have filters, but they're good ones.
Ah, tell me more.
What I mean by that is, and I think CVC is a good example, we're open to try new things, but we also assess the risk before trying those new things. And typically, that CVC thing is about exploring by limiting our financial risk.
Yep, that's a job.
And that's the thinking for probably every new thing that we are trying out. It is very innovative, but we have also carefully thought about the risks. And so we are taking the risks that we are comfortable with.
Now, what would be a success for you for your CVC? What does it look like 5 years from now?
Success. 5 years from now? I think 5 years from now, we would need to start thinking about exits, but good exits with companies that have grown in every dimension, product, team, clients, and who have found a good and satisfactory other new home, so the corporate has acquired them, or found a way to operate by themselves without us. I know that IPO is a holy grail. I don't know if any one of the companies that we have invested is an IPO type of company, but if it happens, that would be absolutely fantastic. It could also mean that one of those companies joins the group. The initial amount that we have committed to this initiative is relatively small. In the CVC world, it's 35 million euros. So if we're successful in 5 years from now, maybe we can think about twice or thrice that. I don't know. A larger team as well.
It's easy to multiply from one.
Yes.
But to be honest, I hope you don't wait 5 years to grow the team. I think that...
No, actually, I'm hiring. So if anyone listens to this, would like to work for a great CVC close to Paris, please get in touch.
Now, you mentioned you're growing your team. Can you share how you are thinking about your team growth? Because clearly, you're thinking probably from where it's the most painful today and you need to grow, but how are you thinking about team growth?
So what are our key activities? Sourcing, analyzing, investing, and I don't like that word, but people call that managing a portfolio. So it's nurturing the relationships with our portfolio companies. I'd rather say it that way. And if I want to be a bit simplistic, but we probably need one person for each activity. So that would be four people. Not tomorrow, probably not even next year, plus ahead. So that's probably also why people think about a full team, a full CVC team is four or five people, because of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those four key activities and then one who's running the show, but we'll have, and everybody is doing a little bit of all those key activities as well, because they're all important. And it's also important to have those cross capabilities. Short term, we would be very happy to have someone who has experience in investing and also someone who's helping with analysis. Maybe so that, so two people.
Now, let's talk about what this person listening to this podcast would want to know, which is, what are you excited to invest next?
There are some key areas for GTT as a group that we would like to explore a bit more actively next year. So carbon capture is a key topic for us, energy storage as well. And we're always keen to see what's happening in software for the shipping industry. So the smart maritime part.
So as we end the podcast, is there anything you wish you knew when you started the CVC that you've learned afterwards?
Yes, we learned that relatively fast, but you need to spend a lot of time with your portfolio companies after the investment. And it's a really important thing to do. Yes, when you're an investor, you tend to focus on the investment process because that's your job, that's your day-to-day, it's your bread and butter. But life after the investment is probably even more important.
I think that's a golden nugget. Because if you want to get the strategic value you identified, it's not the investment, it's what happens afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hélène, thank you for your time on this podcast. what I really appreciate is you always answer giving the context of how you got to a certain decision. And for people who are listening to the podcast or thinking about starting a CVC, one is you helped frame how you decided, which means they might reach a different conclusion with the same framing because they have a different mothership, different objectives. But also you showed that you can start a CVC with one person, team in the mothership and be quite effective, making 7 investments and clearly focus on bringing value to your portfolio company. So that was really good.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to be able to talk about those experiences. You're learning as you talk about them, honestly. And I hope that it'll create and open up new connections.
Thank you, Hélène.
Thank you, Nicolas.